this.
Whatever it takes.
Birds just keep on winning.
This is highway robbery at the center.
You gotta believe.
And he struck out this side.
Unity is adversity.
Perfect jump, and he made a perfect catch.
Refuse to lose.
Strike three, swinging.
United we play. United we win.
Deep right field. Another absolute bomb over the flag all the time.
We are family.
Outstanding effort again.
We're busting ours to kick yours.
That's big time.
Minus 15.
Respect all, fear none.
Oh, did he belt that one?
Intensity is not a perfume.
It was a no doubter.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We are up in the bird's nest here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. I'm Brendan Mortensen alongside Matt Bonaparte, and we are once again joined by friend of the program, Tim Leonard, for part two of our All Orioles draft. We have already made a good bit of selections here. Let's run through our rosters real quick from part one of the draft. I've got Adley Rutschman catching, Rich Dower at second, Cal Ripken Jr. at third, with Brian Roberts at shortstop. Feeling pretty good about my infield. And then I've got a good 1-2 punch in my starting rotation with Mike Flanagan and Storm Davis. Bones, let's hear about your team.
Mike Mussina, Mike Boddicker taking the hill for my team with the great battery that is Matt Wieters. Dre Mancini at first, Manny Machado at short. That starts what is going to be a strong infield, and then what starts what's going to be a strong outfield is the Rookie of the Year and 1983 World Champ, Al Bumbry.
Tim, our special guest, tell us about your roster.
Well, my starting pitching, which I opted not to go with Mike Mussina, is Ben McDonald and Eric Bedard as my two starting pitchers. At first base, I got Eddie Murray, who was the number two overall pick in this draft. Bobby Grich was my second selection. He's at shortstop. Doug DeCinse is at the other corner infield position at third. And Nick Markakis is in the outfield for me.
Well, we have all got six selections down. We've got nine to go, so we're going to run through this part two a little bit here. But let's go over the rules just one more time as we are in part two of this draft. We are selecting only players that the Orioles selected in the amateur draft, which started in 1965. So, unfortunately, that does not include greats like Jim Palmer and Brooks Robinson, who signed with the ball club before the amateur draft became a thing. We are only counting stats with the Baltimore Orioles. So, guys like Dave Winfield, Josh Hader that were selected by the Orioles and went on to have great careers elsewhere, those guys will not be selected because even though they were drafted by Baltimore, they did not put up great numbers in an Orioles uniform, and we are not using any future projections. So guys like Jackson Holliday, Colton Cowser that were great Orioles draft picks presumably and will presumably go on to have good careers, we will not be selecting them because they have yet to do it in an Orioles uniform. So those are the rules of the draft. It is a snake draft, and we are back to me. I've got one selection here before we go on to Tim, and then Matt will have back-to-back picks. Now, we've all got two starting pitchers. I've got Mike Flanagan and Storm Davis, and I feel pretty good about those two. I know that if it gets back around to me with the next bunch of picks here, there will be some pitchers gone that I would like. So despite this guy being a little bit further down my board, I do feel like I need to go with a starting pitcher. And I'm going to go with the first round pick back in 2012, the fourth overall selection. That's going to be Kevin Gausman. Now, I know the story with Gausman is that he has put up better numbers when he was not in an Orioles uniform, really found his stride after his time in Baltimore. However, that doesn't mean that he wasn't a solid pitcher in his Orioles career. The Baseball Reference WAR just shy of 10 in his 150 games. Again, the ERA of 4.22, that has come down as Gausman is now a bona fide ace in a Toronto Blue Jays uniform. But Gausman, for his time in Baltimore, was still a really solid starting pitcher, and I feel good about him being my number three right now.
Yeah, an exciting pick Gausman was back in 2012, number four overall in that draft, and a guy who, like you said, has gone on to do very big things at the highest level of this sport, and having him as your number three pitcher, not too bad. Now, that does make the starting pitcher category even that much more thin, so if I had to guess, I'd say we see Tim take one here or on the turn.
Yeah, would have to imagine.
Imagine. Yep, you guys read my mind. I'm going with another starting pitcher here. I actually wasn't thinking about doing it. I was hoping Brendan would take a position player, and then maybe I could wait another round. But I can't risk it. I've got to go with another pitcher before we drop into what I think is another tier pitching-wise. And I'm going to go with an active Oriole right now, the 11th round pick in the 2014 draft, and that is one John Means, who, of course, had a tremendous 2019 season when he was an all-star, a 4.4 baseball reference war season. Means has a combined 9.5 baseball reference war. Technically six seasons with the Orioles, but of course it's really more like three full seasons. And I know we're hoping he gets back to that top tier this year. That doesn't count for this draft, but I still think given what he has brought to the Orioles and his production so far, it's a good selection here.
Yeah, that's certainly a solid pick. I think John Means and Kevin Gausman were the next tier of pitchers before there is a little bit of a fall off once again. Bones, you're in a good position here where you have probably two of the three best starting pitchers, so you don't necessarily need to go back to the well, but you are the only one without three starters on the roster right now.
I've got two schools of thought right here. One is, I actually have three. One,
three schools of thought.
Finish pitching right now. Ooh. Two, finish the outfield right now.
Whoa.
And three, take one of each.
Wow.
Which is obviously the third.
Right.
You know, I'm an all or nothing guy at some points of my life, and this is one of those points.
Wow.
But I'm going to go do it in the outfield.
Oh.
I'm going to take an active Oriole, 13th round pick out of Campbell, Cedric Mullins. Of course, we all know Cedric Mullins, an active Oriole, and one of the biggest parts of the current team. His 30-30 season was so incredibly electrifying, and we're going to slot him in probably in left field because his three games – counting your book there.
Well, I would probably move Bumbry to a corner and
I was just kidding with you.
Put Cedric
Yeah, Cedric will go into the outfield. And then on the turn, I am going to take a former AL MVP, didn't do it with the Orioles, but did do it in his career, Don Baylor, 1987 world champ. Again, not with the O's, but a very, very good player. Baylor, of course, started with the Orioles and put up a couple of really, really solid seasons before moving on. He is going to shore up my outfield, and I think I've got a really, really strong outfield now.
Yeah, those are two solid selections. I mean, you have boxed us out of the outfield a little bit here, taking a lot of the top center field options. So, Tim, I mean, look, we have an opportunity to box Matt out in the starting pitching front here because that's what he's done to us in the outfield. So, Tim, are you going to box him out a little bit in that starting rotation or solidify the lineup?
No, I'm torn, Brendan. I like your mindset. I feel like Matt has been fist pumping at some of my selections.
The
taunting that he has going back to part one, he's really egging me on to do it. I mean, we got a newbie on the draft. He thinks he's won the draft. We had an intermission in between the two parts. He's talking a lot of game. But actually, I think I'm going to start the relief pitcher train here. And, you know, you could say, oh, Tim's starting rotation, it's not that good. That's what everyone's saying. Everyone is texting me and saying, Tim, how did you leave this many starters off the board? And, oh, man, you got a bad starting rotation. Well, I'll just get a really good closer and an Orioles Hall of Famer. And I'm going to go with Greg Olson, who was a first-round pick in 1989. Another guy who has worked for Masson. So Ben McDonald and Greg Olson, two of my pitchers, are Masson color guys. And, you know, you look through his career, it's outstanding. His ERA was an amazing 2.26 over 6 years with Baltimore. He set all kinds of records. He won the Rookie of the Year in 1989 over one Ken Griffey Jr. So you know you had an outstanding year if you were doing that. Was an all-star as a 23-year-old in 1990 when he had 37 saves. So I like what I'm getting and starting the relief pitcher train here. Maybe a little bit earlier than you guys would have thought, but I'm going with Greg Olson.
No, look, I think,
no, it's, look, a I think it's a great
value-wise. And Greg Olson is one of the best relievers in Orioles history, as you mentioned. I think it's a fantastic pick. I don't know if it was necessarily a position of need, but at this point in the draft, when there's a player the caliber of Greg Olson available, I think it's a good pick.
I think it's a really good pick. Like Tim said, maybe he doesn't have the best rotation in the world, but he will start a really, really good bullpen with a pick like that. So I think you should be happy with that pick, Tim.
I'm in a very interesting spot here again at the turn, as I often am having to wait, and you are as well, Bones, in a position where you're at one or three and you've got to wait a very long time for your next picks. I think if I don't draft this guy now, Tim is going to take him with his next selection. I'm going to take an all-star outfielder. That's going to be Austin Hayes. The war up at nine. I think Austin Hayes' peak is, again, one of the best that was available in this draft. The third-round pick back in 2016 was an all-star last year. And when he is on the field, Austin Hayes is a spectacular, spectacular player. We see him in left field a lot right now because, well, at Camden Yards, it's kind of a second center field. And, of course, you have the great Cedric Mullins in center who is already off the board. But Austin Hayes is going to be my selection here purely because I think he is the best player available and it fits a position of need.
Yep, this was the obvious pick, I think, and one that's pretty much a no-brainer. You get great defense and a really good bat, and like you said, an all-star as he was last season and one of the leaders of this team. So I think you get a really, really good player in Austin Hayes and a guy that you couldn't really go wrong with at this pick.
Now, I'm going to go with not a pick that I'm crazy about in this spot, but a pick that I do think is necessary based on the positional depth. And that's going to be the first round pick back in 2011, fourth overall. I'm going to go with Dylan Bundy here as my fourth starter. Just because I think the gap between Dylan Bundy and the next best starter available is pretty sizable. And I know that I didn't get Messina and Boddicker to start off the draft. I know I may not have the best rotation, but I think this might put me there because I think Dylan Bundy, even though, again, he was a very high draft pick, maybe didn't live up to his full potential in Baltimore, but still gives you 127 games, a solid WAR. The ERA up at 4.67 is not fantastic, but the gap between Bundy and the next best guy, I think, is sizable enough to justify making this pick here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a little teensy-weensy bit of a reach, but he was definitely going to be gone by the time you got that pick back. And definitely boxes me out from, I have two starter positions open, and Tim is now going to have to take one of those, that next tier as well. So you kind of avoid doing that. So maybe you don't have the highest of the high value pitchers, but you definitely won't hit that lowest tier. So I think that's a pretty solid pick from you, Brendan.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to avoid. I think there is a bottom tier of pitcher that we're going to have to select here to fill out our rotations. And I didn't want to be in that, which brings us to Tim with, again, another interesting decision to make here with his pick.
Yeah, I do think you have the best rotation now, Brendan. It's going to be hard to beat that. I'm going to go with two positions really of need right now. I am looking at a glaring hole at second base and a glaring hole in the outfield when I look at my diamond at the moment. And I'm going to get a utility guy in Jerry Harrison, who was an 11th round pick in 1997. And Harrison had about 7.1 WAR over his seven seasons with Baltimore. And I just like the positional flexibility he gives me right now. It just happens to be that those are my two biggest positions of need. And actually, Brendan, if you guys are cool with it, I think I'm going to stick him in the corner outfield.
Oh, sure.
Right now, because I feel like that's going to be a second base I could probably come back to. But outfield is getting very thin.
I mean, this is one of the classic utility players in the history of baseball. A very good pick here, Tim. And you know, as we're already seeing, you're putting him in the outfield, and he can pretty much go anywhere. So that's a pretty good pick and a valuable one at that.
Bones, that brings us back to you.
Yep, it does. And with my outfield shored up, I'm pretty happy about that. Maybe we'll see some movement there as I make the team later on, but for now, I'm pretty happy, and I think I've got to at least hit starting pitching, or are we to the point where I can leave it because nobody's going to go after it anymore? We're only going to lose one more guy, so that's kind of my thinking right now. There's only going to be one more guy off the board. Would it be more advantageous for me to go after the second base or the third base spot because I'm going to have all but one of these options left? And I think it is. I don't think starting pitching with Dylan Bundy off the board is a need at this pick, so instead I am going to hit third base, in which I will draft Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gunnar Henderson definitely going to help me out here. I'm actually probably going to switch Henderson and Machado there. I'll probably put Machado at third, Henderson at short. Some really good defense, some really good power in both of those bats. I'm really happy with what I've got on that left side of the infield now. Trey Mancini at first is pretty darn good, and all I'll have to do is now fill up that second base spot. Will I do that with this pick? I don't think so. I'm going to head to the bullpen, and I'm going to go after the 2006 selection in the third round, Zach Britton, to start off my bullpen. Obviously had one of the greatest seasons a closer has ever had, 50-plus saves. He is just unhittable that year, and pretty much made himself a legend in Baltimore for that season. And that was before he changed the spelling of his name. I'm happy to have Zach Britton on this team, and I think that's a really, really strong start for my bullpen.
Yeah, those are the two guys that I had highest remaining on my board, and I think you're right. I think there are a group of starting pitchers available that are kind of right around the same tier, so just getting the two best players available in Gunnar Henderson and Zach Britton in what were two still positions of need for you makes a lot of sense.
And, of course, it was 47 saves. Sorry, I meant to say that.
Heck of a lot.
Yeah.
Heck of a lot of saves, whatever it was. Which brings us back to Tim with another selection.
Yeah, guys, good picks, Bones. I was thinking Gunnar Henderson might fall to me, and I could get creative and move Bobby Grich over to second. That was what I was hoping for. But, I mean, Gunnar and Manny Machado on the left side of your infield is going to certainly look very nice at the end of this draft, Bones. So props to you. I'm going to go with the guy I'm going to put at second base, and it is Billy Ripken, Cal's younger brother, who has a 5.5 baseball reference war over his Orioles career, 11th round pick in 1982. Also the owner of one of the best baseball cards ever. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look that up. That's all I can really say on that matter on a podcast. But yeah, I think he's a very solid fielder at second base, and I need second base. And I'm worried if I don't take him now, he won't come back to me. So I'm going to grab Billy Ripken.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Billy Ripken was the next best available at one of those infield spots, and shoring that up there is a solid move. I'm going to go with the best player available for me, and I think obviously a position of need for me in the outfield as well. That's going to be Mike Young, the first round pick back in 1980. I can put him in either left field or right field. I'm going to put him in left field right now. Got a WAR of 7 in his career, and look, there aren't a ton of high upside outfielders available. I got one of them in Austin Hayes, but I think Mike Young shores it up for me after that.
Yeah, good pick. Really solid Oriole over his career. A lot of 700-plus OPSs. One season with an 800-plus OPS, and obviously was around in the 80s. Really, really good player, and definitely helps out your outfield.
And then after that, there's not a ton of outfielders that I think are head and shoulders above the rest where I feel like I have to select them. So I think I can hold off on drafting another outfielder just because there's not one that really jumps out at me. But there is one position where I think the drop-off is significant enough where I want to make sure that I grab one of the guys. But I don't know if either of you guys are going to double up. So I think I'm going to take a little bit of a chance here. And instead, I'm going to go with Ryan Mountcastle at first base because I know that both of you guys have your first base filled right now, but Ryan Mountcastle is still pretty high up on the board war-wise, and I don't want him to be selected as a potential DH and get boxed out of first base because that would be a viable strategy for one of you guys. So I'm going to go with Ryan Mountcastle and put him at first base. War just over 5, has had some really solid seasons at the plate. And I think after him at first base, there is a very sizable drop off. And I just don't want to lose out on having a solid first baseman. So Mike Young and Ryan Mountcastle, my two selections here.
That's a good pick. And just like you said, I was thinking about Mountcastle because I could put him at that DH spot. So I don't think that's a bad pick at all. Yeah, I think you also, you know, you have the option. You could have maybe put him in the outfield or something, but Mountcastle at first base, definitely a strong, strong hitter to put in your lineup.
Yeah, Ryan Mountcastle, not exactly known for his outfield defense, so I feel better about
it. But he did it.
He did it. I feel better about putting Ryan Mountcastle at my first base spot.
Tammy.
Ryan Mountcastle also drafted as a shortstop. People forget. I like that pick, Brendan. I have a question for you guys because I cannot see the big board. So if you'll allow, Bones, do you have any outfield spots remaining?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Okay.
No outfield spots remaining, but he does have a designated hitter available.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I'm sort of scanning my board here, and I'm trying to make sense of where I should go. And that's good intel. I think actually I'm going to go for a pitcher here and just end my rotation, if that makes sense. And this is a guy who is a starter and a reliever, but I'm going to use him as a starter. And I'm going to go with Arthur Rhodes, who was a second-round pick in the 1988 draft by the Orioles, began his career as a starter, never started another game after he left Baltimore, but we discussed this, and I think we're going to allow myself to use him as a starting pitcher. He was an all-star later in his career when he was 40 years old, some might remember, for the Reds, but had some decent seasons with Baltimore, was top 20 in the MVP voting in 1997 when he had a 3.02 ERA. And I just want to get pitching over and done with. And it actually is kind of nice because I could even move him to a relief position, I guess, later in the draft as well, if I want to do that.
Yeah, I think that pick makes a lot of sense there for Arthur Rhodes. The starting pitcher's getting down there a little bit, but now we have saved bones from not having really to select a starting pitcher, although you do still, Tim, as you mentioned, have the option of moving Rhodes into a reliever role. So there is still a possibility that you could draft another starter and then force Bones' hand a little bit. But I think that does help Matt a little bit, probably in his decision-making here.
Yeah, definitely does. I don't have to take that starter that was so sought after anymore. And that turns my eyes towards the bullpen, where I can really shore up what's probably going to be the best bullpen out of these three teams, where I take Jim Johnson.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping wouldn't happen.
Back-to-back seasons with 50-plus saves, was a top 10 Cy Young vote-getter back in 2012 with the Orioles for a good amount of time, 8 years. I'm pretty happy with Jim Johnson. It was a 9.9 career WAR with the O's. So Zach Britton and Jim Johnson, two of the better Orioles back-end bullpen guys we've ever seen. I'm pretty happy with my bullpen right now.
Yeah, I was hoping that neither of you guys would want to double up on your relievers, but just with the way the board is falling right now and what positions we need, it makes sense that you could hold off on starting pitcher, hold off on DH and second base, and just shore up that bullpen. So that pick makes a lot of sense there.
Yeah, so now what I've got to think about is second base, DH, because I can wait on starting pitching, and things have gotten pretty thin. So I honestly, at this point, this is where you start worrying that you missed a guy, because I'm looking around and I'm thinking, I mean, surely there's a guy I missed in here. But I think I'm just going to go for my DH right here, drafted in the 10th round of the 1996 draft with the 291st pick. I'm going Luis Matos. Luis Matos, a solid player, nearly a 5 WAR in his time with the O's, played from 2000 to 2005, traded midway through the 2006 season, had a really good 2003 in which he hit .303 with an .811 OPS. That's going to do pretty nicely for me in my lineup.
Yeah, solid pick there with Matos. I think there's a few outfielders that are right around that range, and you got one of them, which is good. Tim, back to you.
Well, speaking of outfielders that are right around that range, I am going to make sure that I don't miss out on taking that last outfielder and kind of ending my outfield defense. So I'm going to go for a guy who was a steal of a pick, 21st round, 1968. And that is one Rich Coggins, who had just two seasons with Baltimore, but very productive seasons, really three when you look at his overall time.
Maybe we lost
more like two, where he
Well, it seems like we've lost him
a little bit.
So hopefully we'll be able to get that connection back with us here soon.
But it is back to me.
With my next two picks. And I think here I am going to make sure that I am not going into that bottom tier of relievers. So I think I'm honestly going to draft two relievers here. First one's going to be Michael Givens. Yep. Over 300 games in an Orioles uniform, a .341 ERA. 20 saves. It was more of a setup guy in a seventh, eighth inning role, but a really solid reliever in an Orioles uniform. And then after Michael Givens, I mean, with Arthur Rhodes off the board, there are not a ton of high upside relievers remaining. So I'm going to go with Tanner Scott here.
Okay.
Tanner Scott, 170 games in an Orioles uniform. The ERA was up at 4.73. But Tanner Scott, I mean, was an absolute strikeout machine. Over 200 strikeouts in 156 innings and has turned in a nice career in Miami here as well. Tanner Scott was always somebody that was tossed around at the trade deadline as a potential piece just because he had such high upside. I mean, the fastball slider combo was deadly from Tanner Scott. So even though the ERA wasn't amazing, I mean, you're looking at a career in an Orioles uniform where he's striking out 12 batters per nine innings. So I think between Michael Givens and Tanner Scott, I've got a very solid 1-2 punch of relievers here.
I like going for the guy who maybe doesn't have the war, but he does have the other things going for him. In a guy like Tanner Scott, who also, like you said, we've seen plenty in an Orioles uniform. So I'm happy with that pick if I'm you, and you sure up a pretty solid bullpen as well. Now, the intel I'm getting is that Tim Leonard might need a restart of the laptop.
That's the intel you're getting?
That's the intel I'm getting.
Wow.
From Mission Control, as you can see my earpiece.
Well, after those two picks of Michael Givens and Tanner Scott, hopefully we've got our technical difficulties with our special guest Tim Leonard all the way worked out, but it does give us a nice opportunity here as we only have a few picks remaining to break down our rosters before we round them out. I'll start with mine here. My infield is completely set. We've got Adley Rutschman, Ryan Mountcastle, Rich Dower, Cal Ripken Jr., and Brian Roberts. In the outfield, I've got Mike Young and Austin Hayes. I still need a right fielder and a designated hitter, but my starting rotation, feeling pretty good about it. Mike Flanagan, Storm Davis, Kevin Gausman, and Dylan Bundy. And I just took my two relievers in Michael Givens and Tanner Scott. Bones, tell me about your squad.
I'm really happy with my squad thus far. We're going to have a bit of a top-heavy rotation with Moose and Mike Boddicker. We don't have the three and the four yet, but we will get that. Happy with the bullpen. Zach Britton and Jim Johnson, a couple of guys that a lot of people have loved over the last couple decades. And behind the plate, we got Matt Wieters, Trey Mancini at first, Gunnar Henderson, and Manny Machado on the left side of the infield. Need that second base spot, which will be interesting here in the last couple of rounds. The outfield and the DH is all locked up. Al Bumbrey, Cedric Mullins, Don Baylor, and Luis Matos taking those spots. I'm pretty happy with my team.
Tim, you've got the next pick and the next chance to break down your roster.
Yes, my roster. Let's start with the starting pitchers. Ben McDonald, the first overall selection for the Orioles, is my ace. Eric Bedard, a lefty. John Means, a fellow lefty, also my rotation. And Arthur Rhodes rounds out my starting rotation for the Orioles. Greg Olson, a Orioles Hall of Famer, is my closer at the moment. Then we got Eddie Murray at first base, Billy Ripken at second base, Bobby Gritch, who is an outstanding shortstop, along with Doug DeSensei at third base. So my infield is all set. My outfield is all set. Left to right, I have it as Jerry Harrison, Nick Markakis, and Rich Coggins in my outfield. And that leaves catcher, DH, and one bullpen spot as we get into the final three rounds here. And I'm going to go for the DH position right now, fellas. And I'm going to take Larry Sheets, who was pretty much a DH and not much of a fielder. So I'm really getting a good bat here to truly put it, the designated hitter. Sheets was a second-round pick in the 1978 draft for Baltimore, and his son, Gavin Sheets, is now on the White Sox, kind of plays a similar type of role to what Larry Sheets was, but really an outstanding hitter. He had 31 homers in 1987, had a 769 OPS over six seasons at Baltimore, and a 3.1 baseball reference WAR. So happy to get a true DH to put at that DH spot.
And that's just a really good pick for Tim. I think probably what he was aiming for, and he got it. So if I'm Tim, I'm pretty happy with that selection because, like he said, it is a true DH, a guy that was all about hitting all the time. So Larry Sheets onto Tim's team, that's a pretty good pick.
Yeah, very solid there. As you guys mentioned, a true designated hitter in the designated hitter spot. Bones, you've got two selections.
All right. With my third to last selection, I will take a man who was pretty heroic in a World Series loss in 1979. He was really, really great in six games. He had a 400 batting average, a triple, a couple doubles, six RBI. That's Kiko Garcia, who will slot in right at second base. And now, of course, I do have to go towards the pitching well. And I'm going to take one of my favorite Orioles pitchers of all time, a first-round selection back in 2008, a lefty who wore his hat really down on his forehead. It's Brian Mattis, one of my favorite pitchers that has ever put on an Orioles uniform. Had a couple of really, really great seasons with the O's. Honestly, you could have put him as a reliever as well. From 2013 to 2015, he was a reliever for the O's, and he's pretty darn good at it. So I'll take Brian Mattis. I love that guy.
Yeah, two solid picks there. I think Mattis was pretty solidly the next best pitcher available, and you get him as your number three starter. And then, as you mentioned, Kiko, the star of that World Series loss back in 79. So two good selections there. Tim, that brings us back to you.
So I'm going to wrap up the catcher position here, guys. Going to go with a good defensive catcher, which is good because you can make an argument my pitching staff isn't great. If you really want to get in the weeds on what my roster would be like, I need some defense. So I'm going to go with Caleb Joseph. He was a seventh-round pick in 2008, 4.5 baseball reference war combined in his Orioles career. And funny story about him, he told it on the MLB Network, I believe, on his personal draft day, which he was a seventh-round pick. His brother, who did play for the Orioles briefly, was a fourth-round pick the same year. He was waiting around on draft day for the call, and he actually got a call from the White Sox, and they said, we're going to take you in a couple picks here, and you're going to be a third baseman. We want you to be a third baseman. So he gets off the phone. He's all pumped up with his family. I'm finally taken. That fear is over. And then he looks at the TV a couple moments later, and it says, Caleb Joseph, catcher, taken by the Baltimore Orioles. I guess they didn't call him, but they took him. And then afterwards, he was like, oh, I guess I'm a catcher now. And he turned into a pretty strong major league career. Again, a really solid defensive catcher. And I think I obviously am taking the worst of the catchers left, but still getting a solid overall player here in the second to last round of the draft.
Yeah, Caleb Joseph, very good value here. I think not only was he filling a position of need for you at catcher, obviously, but he was also the highest guy left on my big board overall. I probably wouldn't have taken him as my designated hitter because, as you mentioned, Tim, Caleb Joseph, well known as a good defensive catcher, so he wouldn't have made a lot of sense for me in that designated hitter spot, but I think he makes a lot of sense for you in your catcher spot, which brings me to my final two picks. I need a right fielder and I need a designated hitter. And luckily for me, the board worked out pretty well. I think I've got two guys left at the top here that are still really solid players, a couple of former first round picks that I'm going to be able to slot in pretty easily into my right field and designated hitter spot. The first one is going to be the first round pick back in 1992, fourth overall. That's going to be...
It really is. But anyways, again, Craig, thank you so much for sending that over.
Reference war. Wasn't a great defender in the outfield, but you're going to take a 767 OPS any day of the week here. And for my last pick, I'm going to go with another corner outfield hybrid here. That's going to be Larry Bigby. 741 career OPS in Baltimore in over 350 career games. As mentioned, another former first-round pick. He went 21st overall in 1999. So in Jeffrey Hammonds and Larry Bigby, I feel pretty solid with those two guys being my last picks here. They both got wars over three in their careers in Baltimore, which were both brought down by the defense. Neither of them were great defensive outfielders. But in Hammonds and Bigby, I'm adding two pretty solid OPS numbers to my lineup. As mentioned, that 767 career OPS in Baltimore for Hammonds and a 741 for Bigby. So I feel pretty good adding those two guys to my roster with my final two picks.
Solid way to end it for you. Solid way to end it for sure. And I think you should be pretty proud of your team. You get a couple decent players to round it out here at the end. And you got a pretty solid outfield going there, Brenda. I think you should be happy with that. Yep, Tim now just has to select his final reliever. Timmy, we'll send it over to you.
All right, I'm going to go with Chris Ray, third-round pick, 2003 for the Orioles, of course, 3.1 war combined in his career and was just a reliever, 191 appearances. His ERA plus, which keep in mind, 100 is average. His Baltimore career, 110 ERA plus, so still an above-average reliever according to that metric. And, yeah, I think it's not pitching, I guess, overall is going to be kind of the weakness of my team, maybe. Although I did do a decent enough job, in my opinion, of kind of rounding out the pitching rotation after electing to not take Mike Mussina with that second overall pick. So Chris Ray is the best available player on my board left and just happens to be the position I need as well.
That definitely works. That definitely works. Chris Ray there to round out that bullpen. And I'll take a pitcher as well, a starter, to finish up our draft. And it's going to be Brad Bergeson, the man who shored up the Orioles rotation for the entirety of 2009, pretty much at a very, very good season through 19 starts at a 3.43 ERA and got it done for that team. Only spent 3 years in Baltimore before moving on to Arizona, but solid player nonetheless, and I'm happy to have him on our squad.
Well, there we have it, folks. The board is full. We have made all of our selections here for the All Orioles draft. I think we've got three really solid, really competitive rosters here. Let's go around and make the case for all of our teams here. Tim, we'll start with you. Why should your team be known as the best of the All Orioles draft?
Well, just imagine a team that, you know, you could start with Nick Markakis leading off. You have Eddie Murray in the middle of the lineup. You have Bobby Grich in the middle of the lineup. You've got Doug DeCince, who I got later in the rounds here, just a steal for me at third base. And, you know, overall, my pitching ended up pretty solid. I like how it ended up. Ben McDonald, Eric Bedard, John Means is really a pretty good 1-2-3 there rotation-wise. And if we're in a late-game situation and I need to bring in a closer, I've got one of the best in Orioles franchise history, and that is Greg Olson as one of my relievers. So all in all, I think I have a very balanced team. I think the catching spot is going to be a weakness compared to you guys, but I like what I have in terms of offense, defense, and some pitching when you tie in that I did get a very solid closer in Greg Olson.
Bones, we'll bring it to you. Give us your pitch.
I love my team. I really do. I mean, you look at this squad, the infield has so much power from Mancini to Henderson, Wieters, Machado. We're going to be hitting a lot of home runs in the infield. We've got some postseason experience with Kiko Garcia there as well. And I think it's pretty safe to say I have the best outfield. Bumbrey, Mullins, and Baylor, I don't think anybody's topping that. And then you move into the pitching. I think I have the best bullpen. Britton and Johnson. I don't think you guys really touched that. Yours, you have some good names, maybe a little top heavy over there with Olson. I'm pretty happy having two really, really good back end bullpen guys who have gotten plenty of saves over their careers. And when you look at my rotation, I've got star power, man. Moose, a Hall of Famer. And I've got Mike Boddicker, a guy who pitched in a World Series. Brian Madison, Brad Bergeson, not at that same echelon, but still effective nonetheless. I love my team.
Well, look, I think that's a pretty solid pitch, but I don't think it's the best pitch, quite frankly, because I'm looking over at my roster over here, and I think I've got the best team, and I'll tell you why. I think I've got by far the best infield of any of the rosters constructed here. We've got a superstar catcher in Adley Rutschman, Ryan Mountcastle and Rich Dower, solid on the right side of the infield. And then we've got two of the best infielders in Orioles history on the left side of the infield in Cal Ripken Jr. and Brian Roberts. My outfield maybe doesn't stack up to yours, Bones. As you mentioned, he got the star power in Al Bumbrey and Cedric Mullins, and I don't quite have that. But I do have a star, literally an all-star, in Austin Hayes in center field, and then two solid options outside of that, Mike Young and Jeffrey Hammonds. I think my starting rotation is the best one. Here, I've got Mike Flanagan and Storm Davis at the top. And then at my starting pitcher 3 and 4, I've got two staples of the 2010s in Kevin Gausman and Dylan Bundy. I didn't have to go into that bottom tier of pitchers there as you guys were forced to with your starters 3 and 4 there. And Gausman and Bundy, I think, really raise the upside of my team. I don't think my relievers stack up quite as well, but Michael Givens still a really solid arm. And Tanner Scott was a strikeout machine. So I think if you're looking at my roster here, I've got the best infield. I've got the best starting rotation. I think that puts me in a good spot.
You don't
spot.
Have the best infield. I Whoa. Do. You definitely have the best Whoa. Rotation. I think so. Just top to bottom. You don't have, like you said, one of those bottom tier guys. I still have a Hall of Famer. You don't. But I think I got a better infield than you. I got a better outfield than you. I got a better bullpen than you. I got more star power than you.
And meanwhile, Tim is just being polite over there, not saying he has a better whatever than anybody else. He's just built a solid roster that he's happy with.
My team isn't polite to anybody. We're winners, okay? We go out there and we win.
Tim, any remarks here for Bones, who has been slandering you seemingly all day?
I will say I'm a little bit worried about the Twitter vote, because as you guys went through your roster, you guys have way more active players than I do. The only active player on my roster is John Means. And as we've talked about, I'm not sure many people actually look at the starting pitching when they look at the graphics. So not that, you know, the graphics everything, but when people see Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Ryan Mountcastle, Trey Mancini, like, those are names that people know. And if we're being honest, the social media crowd is a little bit younger. So I'm hoping that the people that are listening to this podcast can get on Twitter and, you know, put some respect on my team's name. I mean, Bobby Grich, Eddie Murray, tell the kids just how good they were. I say as a young kid who was more of the social media crowd. But yeah, that's my concern, is you guys definitely went a little bit younger in your roster.
Well, let me tell you, Bones is confident over here. I mean, you were laying out the points about a social media friendly team. And I mean, Bones is going Rocky style, two hands up in the air off camera.
Just making stuff up.
Look, Tim, you and I are veterans in this fantasy draft. We know not to count the eggs here. I mean, look, we both feel pretty solid about our rosters, but we put these teams on Twitter and Facebook, and anything can happen. And Bones, some premature celebrations.
I'm just happy with my team. That's all.
I'm glad you're happy with your team. And this was a really fun exercise. I think all of us being able to go through these teams, we have built three really competitive rosters here. And I think that says a lot about the quality of drafts in Orioles history, and especially recently as well. I know we mentioned it off the top in part one of our all Orioles draft, but you've got guys like Adley Rutschman, Ryan Mountcastle, as mentioned, Austin Hayes, Cedric Mullins, John Means, Gunnar Henderson. The fact that those guys are already draftable is really, really impressive. Adley Rutschman was a very high draft pick in this draft here. John Means, same thing. Cedric Mullins, same thing. So that's just really impressive that this modern era of players has already worked their way into this echelon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're totally correct in saying that. I mean, you look across the board, and like you said, you see a lot of familiar faces, familiar names. So I think that you got to give them all the credit in the world for that.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for joining us. This was such a fun exercise. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing, where we can find your great work right now.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. I always have fun hopping on and coming back on the podcast, and miss my time with the Orioles and with Mapson. But right now I'm up in Syracuse and doing a little bit more play-by-play focused work. I'm the play-by-play guy for the women's basketball team and the Syracuse men's lacrosse team. So two nationally ranked teams at the moment, and do a lot of work for men's basketball as well. So we're hoping they go on a run to the tournament. And of course, some people are sick of the Syracuse chatter on this podcast, but we got three Syracuse guys on here right now, and it's been a blast to be back at my alma mater. Do miss Camden Yards, but I tell people I did kind of the reverse Carmelo Anthony. He went from Baltimore to Syracuse, and that's kind of what I've done as well. I've sort of followed in Melo's footsteps. Now, of course, he's no longer in Syracuse, but that's what I like to say. I'm right there with Carmelo Anthony.
First thing I think of when I think of Tim Leonard is Carmelo.
If there's one comp that I have for Tim Leonard, it is Carmelo Anthony. That's what we've always said.
His mid-range game is ridiculous. I don't know if you've ever been on the court with Tim. I mean, the guy can make space in a phone booth.
Yeah, it's a mellow jumper there. Fantastic. But Tim, thank you so much for joining us. This is a really fun exercise. We hope you enjoyed the All Orioles draft. If you were following along with us live on Facebook and YouTube, thank you so much for following along. Or, of course, you can catch us after the fact on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts or your digital shows. You can find Matt Bonaparte and myself on The Bird's Nest. Big thank you to Amy Jennings. Big thank you to Tim Leonard once again for joining us here. For Matt Bonaparte, I'm Brendan Mortensen, and we'll catch you next time.